You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Here comes a lightning bolt.
Charger fans are witnesses to history.
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go.
Please welcome to the Lightning Round Podcast, the co-host of American Ninja Warrior, the current host of The Talk. He's an author, analyst, former Charger player, who's important to us, of course. And also, maybe more importantly, my fellow Aztec from our alma mater, San Diego State University, Akbar Bajabia Miller.
Don't get me started. I'll start singing the fight song.
Oh man, thank you so much for coming on, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So, speaking of your name, I know you get a ton of questions about it. I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, but you know, being able to read your book here, which is Everyone Can Be a Ninja, there's a very specific meaning about your name, not just the one that I gave, but your full name, but also your father told you to make them say your name.
Yes.
So can you talk to us about that and why he said that?
Well, you know, it was one of those things, you know, and I detail this in the book, Everyone Can Be a Ninja, about some of the hurdles that I had to overcome growing up. And one of the obstacles was the fact that my name, which is my first name, is an Arabic name, and my middle name, Nigerian, my last name, Nigerian. And in that time, growing up in the 80s and 90s, the kids weren't so nice. You know, now they call it bullying. But, you know, I got teased relentlessly. And I just remember wanting to have an American name. And I just was like, I didn't want the people to stand out, or I would be like, oh, like just like quivering, like, oh, when the roll call, all right, here. And then the teacher always got to my name and just jacked it up. And it just everybody laughs. And it was like, can you imagine doing this for 10 years? Just, you know what I mean? Like being made fun every time roll call comes around. So I remember telling my dad, I want my name to be Dexter or something. I don't know what I said. It was just some random name that I want to be. And my dad, with his thick Nigerian accent, was like, no, make them say your name. And it was like, just the way he said it, I was like, oh, wow. And it was like a shift. It was a change. And I started to be able to embrace that uniqueness that was different, you know? And that's what kind of started me off in the right direction and being able to be comfortable with who I am and being able to accept differences, my differences. And I think it's even helped me with the platform on The Talk as well, you know, being able to understand that you can be different and still have the same respect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so the full name, can you give it to like what each of them meant? Because your last name was very interesting to me.
Yeah, Akbar Oluwakemi Idowu Bajabiamila, right? And that's with the American accent, just so your listeners can kind of digest it. But the first name, in Arabic, means great. Oluwakemi is kind of like God gives me favor. And then Idowu means born after twins. And then Bajabiamila means big man, come save me. And you get those two together and they kind of spells out something. And my dad said, you know, in our culture, you have to live up to your name. Your name tells a story about you. And I take great pride in that, knowing that, you know, the name means something and that, you have something that tells your future. And so I'm just hoping, like, even with this platform that the Lord has blessed me with, whether it's Ninja Warrior, whether it's The Talk, that, you know, hopefully that I am able to help somebody, whether it's cheering people on American Ninja Warrior or being able to add to the conversation when it comes to The Talk. I've always said, especially in this day and age where so many people are just, every subject seems so polarizing and everybody's ready to fight each other and so easily offended. And I've been about this mantra, which is conversation over confrontation, and hopefully steering the national discussion on any topic into just having a conversation. We know we're in the middle of this cancel culture, right? And I heard someone recently say we shouldn't be in the cancel culture, we should be in the council culture. I just thought, wow, that was so well said. Yeah, we should be, because it's all about learning, conversation over confrontation.
So that's great. And so also in your book, you talked about growing up in Crenshaw, loving basketball. Your coaches pushed you to play football though, and you were kind of thankful because in that first practice you were crying in your helmet. Can you tell us about that?
Oh man, I got my Crenshaw High School picture up in the back of me, off to the side over there. But I was in love with basketball. I grew up here in LA. I'm in Los Angeles. Showtime. You remember the Lakers and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Thompson, Cooper, Brian Scott, all those. I mean, that was the era that I grew up in, and I wanted to play basketball. So I'd only played basketball since I was a kid all the way up to my senior year in high school. But in my senior year, my brother Kabir had so much success in football since he was a kid. He was just always gifted. You know, he was just athletically gifted. And he worked hard too. And people were like, you should play football like your brother. I'm like, that's a barbaric sport. No, you know, basketball players, when you get slapped, you think you just played a whole football game. I got fouled. Oh. And then they walk around like they tough because they got slapped. Like, what are you doing? You just got slapped. What are you talking about? In the army, you think you're the baddest dude on the planet. My first football game, after they just wore me out to pressure me to play football, after my first practice, my pads on backwards and just upside down, I just looked like a hot mess. And I was in basketball shoes. And I cried so badly that first practice. It was so, my fingers were getting jammed and cut in between the face mask. And you know, it was just, bumps and bruises. I came home and I quit. And my dad was like, you did what? You said you were going to play? You're going to finish it. You start it, you finish it. And I never forgot that lesson, even though I was mad too. I was so mad. And who would have ever thunked it? And my dad tells me this all the time. You never know God's surprise, because sometimes people can see in you what you can't see in yourself. And so I am forever grateful, because it changed the trajectory of my life. The truth is, as much as I'm only telling you guys this, if I say this in front of the homies, my story changes. But I was not going to the NBA. I wasn't as talented as I thought I was. In my head, I thought I was Kobe Bryant. But in reality, no. No, I didn't have the skills to pay the bills.
Yeah, by the way, how many basketball scholarships did you get?
You know what? That's crazy. Zero basketball scholarships. Football scholarships, having only played 1 year of football, only 1 year of football. I got five scholarships: San Diego State, Cal Berkeley, Oregon, Fresno State, and Colorado State. I mean, who would have ever thought it?
And you chose San Diego State because your brother played there, correct?
Yeah, I chose San Diego State because my brother was there, and I thought, man, that'd be cool to have the opportunity to play. And especially, too, somebody that you know that can help you play the position that you're playing, that, you know, because when people get competitive, they may not want to give you the inside, you know. And so he kind of helped walk me through and help me grow. So I owe a lot to my brother who really did help lead the way for me in so many ways.
So speaking of your brother, I understand you have seven brothers and sisters. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And, six boys, one girl.
And you guys were pretty competitive growing up and even sometimes physical. Is that right?
Yeah. We grew up, we're a WWE family. My sister didn't appreciate it because we threw her in the pack and we would take the bunk beds and we'd create our own ring around it. And we were slamming, we were jumping off the top bunk bed and with the elbows, and she didn't. My sister had a pretty rough childhood because we didn't know any different. It was just, you know, like, hey, we just needed bodies. We needed bodies so we could slam and tag team, and those were the good. That was the type of fun we made up our own fun, you know.
And you guys made your own belts. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. My late brother now passed away during COVID. Tony, I got to give him love because Tony would take a cardboard box. Thank you for sharing this. My goodness, you're going to make me cry. He would take cardboard boxes and cut them out as a belt, like a big size belt. And he would wrap it around in foil to get the shininess. And he did it in such a meticulous way. Like, we really felt like we had the belt, and they were functional too. He put holes in them. So, you know, like, so you can connect them in the back. I mean, he really did like a masterful thing. We had the intercontinental belt, and then we had the heavyweight belt. And we really fought for those belts. Like, it was the real thing. Like, and you walked around the house like, yo, I've got the belt in the house. You know what I mean?
It was Who won the most belts?
Actually, it was Kabir. Kabir, I'm telling you, Kabir had the most belt. At one time, Kabir was the intercontinental champion and the heavyweight champion. Wow. I'm not even answer this question. I can't even believe like I'm even going back this far. Like, he was the intercontinental and the heavyweight champion, because when my brother Tony, who made the belt, he put him in the figure four leg lock, and he was really trying to get Kabir to give up. And Kabir, through all the pain, would not tap out. I mean, to the point that Tony got so tired of holding on because Kabir would not. I mean, I thought he was going to rip his leg off. This could have ended up in the hospital. Like, it was that intense. And that's how Kabir ended up becoming the heavy. He took the heavyweight from Tony.
Oh, that's awesome. A great story.
Yeah.
So Akbar, you were a member of one of the best Chargers teams of all time, the 2006 Charger team. Can you talk a little bit about your experiences on that team and maybe give us your favorite moment from that season? I'm sure there were a lot.
Yeah, there's so many. You know, obviously, I think back to LaDainian Tomlinson and that record year that he had, and just, I mean, it was such a big deal for LaDainian Tomlinson. So I remember that. But you know, I love my time with the Chargers. And it's one of my favorite part of my NFL career because it's actually the Chargers who I give so much credit for my broadcasting career, because the San Diego Chargers had a coach by the name of Greg Minuski. He was my linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. And he taught me the game, because many people don't know my career kind of cut short because I moved from D end to linebacker. And whereas I thought I was a very good defensive lineman, but moving to that outside linebacker position, it exposed a level of the game that I didn't understand. I didn't understand coverages and dropping back into the zone, the hook to curls to the flat, and how to read receivers and all that formation. All that stuff was brand new. But it was Greg Minuski who took the time to really teach me the game. I write about Coach Minuski in the book because him teaching me about the game and allowing me to expand my vision when I watch the game allowed me to later get into broadcasting and be able to talk about the game. Because you can't talk about the game if you don't understand the game. And just because you play the game, I knew my position, but I didn't know the entire game. And it was Greg Minuski who taught me that. And that gave me a little bit more life to play with the with the Dolphins later on. But my favorite story was Marty Schottenheimer, late Marty Schottenheimer. And two stories quickly was, one was, I was a free agent, And I said, you know what? I'm tired of sitting at home. I bought my first home across the street from the Chargers facility. I walked into the Chargers facility unannounced. Georgette was at the front desk. And I said, hey, I'm here to meet with Marty Schottenheimer. And she goes, do you have an appointment? I was like, nope. And she kind of gave me one of those looks like, yep, this guy. Okay, just very nicely. She goes, you know what? I'll take down your name and number, which means get the heck out of here. I'll take down your name and number, and I'll pass it along. And I was like, dang, I'm getting big timed here. All right. I gave my name and number knowing that nobody's going to call me. And as God is my witness, I turn around and Marty Schottenheimer is coming through the front door before he goes up the stairs. And I had a decision in a split second. Do I just wait for her to give him the message because I left it? Or do I actually approach him? And I was like, no, Akbar, don't make a fool of yourself. No, do it. Do it. No, she's going to give it to him. No, don't do it. Don't go do it. And I was just going back and forth. I said, coach, and my voice started trembling. I said, hi, my name is Akbar Bajabiamela. And I live here in town and I just want to be a Charger. He goes, I know who you are. He goes, I'll talk to the scouting department and, you know, we'll make a decision. That was in like towards the end of the season, like late December, January. And I got a call 3 weeks later. You're going to be a Charger. I said, what? I said, what? I mean, but he gave me his word. Like, you don't understand how valuable that is. He's the head coach of the San Diego Chargers at the time. Head coaches don't deal with that. They don't do that. They have their scouting department doing it. He says, I will go talk. And he talked to them, and then he gave me that. I will forever be grateful for that. That's in my book as well. So, I remember that. And then Marty Schottenheimer always holding players, whether it was myself who just got there as a walk-up off the streets or LaDainian Tomlinson. He never showed favoritism. And that's why so many guys, hear anybody talk about Marty Schottenheimer, they have so much respect for him because he didn't play favorites. He didn't go, oh, I'll treat the star player differently because you lose the locker room like that very quickly. Marty Schottenheimer never lost the locker room. He always had our respect.
Man, those are some great. We love Marty, man. And you're right. Everybody talks so highly of him every time they mention his name. You have another Chargers connection. When you went to San Diego State, you played with Kasim Osgood.
Yes.
He transferred from Cal Poly. He's one of the greatest Chargers special teams player in history. Do you have any stories of him from college or while he joined the Chargers you could share with us?
We'll take dirt. We'll take trash talk. Whatever you got.
I've got everything, man. He and I, we have some good stories. Some that I can't share, but he was such a great dude. You know what I love about Kasim was Kasim. A lot of people don't know this about him, and this is probably a little bit of a shot at him, but you know, maybe hopefully he can appreciate it. But he is one of the smartest dudes I've ever met. When he came from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, he had nowhere to stay. So he lived with me at my place and we lived together, you know, roommates for a while, but he knew everything. The dude is like a savant or something. He knew a little bit, actually more than a little bit about everything. He was so well-rounded, but what he always did was he always played down. He never wanted anyone to know his intelligence so he could flip it on and off. I mean, when I say this dude, like, seriously could run for president of the United States and end global whatever, like global crisis. I mean, he is super smart, but he never wanted anybody to know that. And it always baffled me. But, you know, I don't know if that's a cultural thing where you sometimes get shamed for your intelligence or smarts. But that's the one thing I always remembered about Kasim Osgood, going like Kasim Osgood could do anything. He did not have to play football at all. Like, and the fact that he was so good at it made me a little envious. Kasim, you had to be good at everything, man. Like, need something for somebody. You know what I mean? Like,
so, last question for me here is: I know your first NFL sack came against Dante Culpepper.
Yes,
and I'm sure that's a story you've told over and over. Oh, I bet he's got a picture.
I do. It's in my office. I do have to. Hopefully the lights aren't going.
Oh, that's perfect.
There it is.
Yep. The Raiders gave that to me. There's Dante right there getting sacked. There's Philip Buchanan. There's Anthony Dorsett, Taryn Shaw, And there's Nate Burleson, who I worked with for many years at the NFL Network, and now we're part of the CBS family. But yeah, it was kind of cool for the Raiders to do that for me. You know, I was like, that's why, you know, it was it's one of those things, man. The organizations like the Chargers, like, you know, people always think that, you know, players, you know, organizations don't care about players. They get done with them after. Like, no, like the Chargers, they literally, and the Raiders, like, to me, have always been cool with me. And it's not like I was an all-star or anything like that. You know what I mean? So it was that's how you know it's real. You know what I mean? They're not giving me preferential treatment because, you know, I'm a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean?
So about the sack, we like to ask our guests when they come on the show to tell stories about their playing days. So I'm sure you've told stories about the sack, and I'm sure it gets a little bigger every time you tell it, but the sack of Culpepper, can you take us through, just tell us like as much as you can about it. You know, who did you beat? How hard did you hit him? What move did you use? Break it down for us and feel free to have some fun and embellish it if you want to.
You know, there's no embellishment on this one. There's no embellishment, and I do have to run after this one. Sorry about that, guys.
Yep.
But no, there's no embellishment. It was actually a hustle sack. My first sack was a hustle sack. I had made a move, and I remember I got punched. I fell down on the ground. I got up, and it was just, like, I saw it, and I was like, and I just made the hustle and just got up. And I actually didn't know that I made the sack, believe it or not, until, I don't know if I could say this on this show, but I got to the sideline. I was just kind of like in this, I was like, what just happened? And Warren Sapp comes up to me like, hey, you know, you just popped your cherry. You just popped your cherry. Yeah. You just got your cherry. Like, what? I was just like, everything was just happening so fast. And so yeah, I never forgot that. But yeah, I was like, dang, like my first NFL sack against Dante Culpepper, who had watched, you know, obviously for years when I was in college. So, but yeah, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. Just let you guys know, I obviously have the partnership with Experian, and I'm super committed with the relationship with Experian to be able to help people build and save their build their credit while saving money. Experian has Experian Go, which allows people who are credit invisible, who have no credit, to get instant credit right away. You know, for far too long, especially when I was younger, if you didn't have credit, you try to open up a credit card and you're like, well, I can't get credit because I got denied. They said, I don't have enough credit. Well, Experian has kind of jumped in and said, look here, we're stopping all of that nonsense. We're going to allow people to get credit so you can get access. Because I think everybody knows that access is the key to be able to save you money. If you got credit score, high credit score, you have lower interest rates. If you have no credit score, it's hard to get anything, and if you do get something, it's a super high interest rate. So experian.com/go, or if you want to boost your credit, you think, hey, I'm pretty established, my credit is good, you can self-submit your Hulu bill, your Netflix, Disney Plus, and your utility bills, lights, you know, gas. You can submit those in to Experian, and you're able to boost your credit score. And oh, by the way, they're also helping people save money by being in the auto insurance space now. So yes, Experian is in the auto insurance space, and who knows, I might be the next Experian hype guy and singing some sort of insurance tune for Experian. So, but thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Akbar. We really appreciate it.